Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight on this Thursday, August 26, 2021. You know what, beloved? That means the 8th month is already just about out of here. Just a few more days. We can kiss it goodbye. And we're nearing the end of another year. Well, that's time. None of us can do anything about it. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're grateful for you. Tonight, we're going to placate a little bit off of the wonderful discussion we had on this past Tuesday. One of the specific things that we discussed we'll be talking about. So, and that is the impact that a parent has on their child and their success. But there's something that is necessary. So to be disciplined thing is to demonstrate self-control. You apply mind over the body. Now, particularly when it comes to seeking success at a goal on aiming to achieve something, for people who like preparation for self-restraint, often it seems impossible to move beyond what is normal, ordinary to other people. There's a challenge for them. Not that it's impossible for them to do it, but there's a challenge. Perhaps the greatest secret to be shared with urban America is that with a disciplined mind, you can do all things. That's our topic tonight as we talk about how to find success in life. I can do all things. Now, before I get into the brief monologue, I want to encourage you to give us a call here at 657-383-0944. That's the number to call into the studio tonight, and you can be a part of our live dialogue. If you're following us from Facebook Live or if you're following us from the Blog Talk Radio platform, the podcast platform, either way, you can give us a call, 657-383-0944. Again, it's another night, another opportunity for us to dialogue. I want to make some announcements first, though, and that is that on next week, next Tuesday, next Thursday, have some special guests who will be sitting in for me, and they will be facilitating the discussion. Pastor Wagner, no doubt, will be joining them as well. But they will, you've heard him on the air before. He and his wife, Mr. Ben Shelton. Mr. Shelton is a fine young man, and he works with me in my insurance agency. But he's a minister, and he has quite a few other things, and I'll kind of let him talk as he will. And one of the things is he's my nephew, my brother's son, my late brother's son. So we're grateful to have him come on, and he and his wife, they're going to lead the discussion. They're going to lead the discussion for us and on Tuesday and Thursday of next week. So where are you going to be, Doctor? Where are you going to be? Well, it's my wife and I 26th wedding anniversary, so I'll be taking some time off to spend it with her, but we'll be back. We'll be back the following week, but Mr. Ben Shelton is going to take very, very, very good care of you. He and his lovely wife, Belle. I call her Belle. You can't call her that. But Ms. Shelton will be here, and they will facilitate the conversation. And look forward to some good dialogue. Mm-hmm. Both of them are very intellectually stimulating individuals. So I think you'll find that they will be very informative, useful conversation. So next Tuesday, next Thursday, Mr. Ben Shelton, our regular time, 7 o'clock. And they will go at least for the first hour to have. But they will be – and look for a Facebook group. Look for some posted announcements for their topics and some of the things that they will be discussing. That perhaps they will put some questions out there on Facebook. I'm sure that they will engage our audience appropriately. All right? All right, having said that, that's what we want you to know. That's what we want you to know. Next week, Mr. Shelton and his wife will be the host of the show, and Pastor Waller, no doubt, will be calling. He's our regular co-host, but he'll be calling in as well. But they'll be facilitating the discussion largely for next Tuesday and Thursday of next week. All right, having said that, let's get to our topic tonight. I can do all things. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 12 and 13 says this. I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Where in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Those were words of the Apostle Paul that's written to the church of Philippi. And summation, you can be up, you can be down, you can be here and you can be there, but you can do all things. That's the message to my brothers and my sisters across America and our airways, that you can do all things. That strengthens you. All right? The Canadian-born psychiatrist, Eric Byrne, offered to field a study to psychiatry, the concept known as transactional analysis. Which is explained in a way, by way of explaining human behavior. That's what Burns was aiming at with his research. Now, when we talk about transactional analysis, Burns based it on the idea similar to Sigmund Freud, but was distinctly different. And here's how. Freud, or Freudian concepts, focused on talk therapy, discussion, interaction, whereas Byrne focused on interaction on another level, communication, interaction. He looked at the role of the parent and the way he can gain insight into the individual's personality based on their parents' influence. Are y'all walking with me? Firm belief that insight could be better discovered by analyzing the individual and their social interactions or transactions as from different stages of life. Particularly, there are three areas that he looked at. He looked at the role of the adult, the role of the parent, and the role of the child in that interaction. And specifically, the focus was on how is it that the child's character shapes and who they are, their manner of communicating is guided by their parents' interaction, whether it's good or bad. And this brings us to our discussion on the other day when we were talking about who it is that has the authority, has the power, and the best opportunity to ensure that children, their children first, not only learn, but find success in America, in the world abroad. That is the parent. Hence, we talk about this particular theory focusing on the parent. Now, in both Islam and Christianity, both of them believe that the voice of Elohim, God, is heavenly and divine. Of course, in Islam, it's referred to as Allah, and Christianity, God. In Hebrew, Yahweh Elohim. This voice is divine, and it proclaims the will of the Most High in his judgment. In a very similar fashion, I should say, when we look at the role or the voice of a parent in a child's life, they have legal authority. They have moral standing and even spiritual rights authority to shape and develop and proclaim a promise, an outcome in those children's lives as a male or a female. There are the progenitors, and they have this natural, universal, divine right, the father and the mother. Say it again, doctor, the father and the mother. In the most ideal situations, and Henry Campbell Black defines and describes family as the first and most essential unit of society. They cannot be created without a progenitor who operates responsibly as a father and the other progenitor who operates responsibly as a mother, working together to bring promise in the children's life. Let's talk a little bit more. Now, I said the other day that there's no textbook definition of a perfect parent. However, there are some things that any parent can do to ensure, if you want to. Everybody don't want to, but if you want to, there's some things you can do. Let's talk about this for a second. A parent, technically, is one that gives birth, right, to children, to offspring. You know that. They provide social, emotional, and physical care from birth to their child. They provide material resources and physical covering, a place, a home to live in, ideally. Yes, I know that there are many children who are abandoned, and sometimes their parents mean well, but they can't provide them what most people call the best provisions. Many of them are doing the best they can under the circumstances that they're facing. And we recognize that. But even at that, what we should also recognize is that even if it's me, if I stumble and I fall and I have my child in my hands, in my arms, I have to make sure I do everything I can not to crush that child or to drop the child to where it can be crushed, hurt, harmed. So you must be careful with it. Are you walking with me? This is the power of a parent's voice and influence that can reach the assurity that, listen, I can do all things, but this children can have confidence. So we're talking about this parent. Let's listen to what the voice is. Now, you know, in general terms, your voice is produced by sound. Your words that you speak, they have meaning. And if you speak the right words of guidance and instruction in the child's ear, it resonates in their heart and in their mind, they will grow up better. This is what the text was talking about when it said, train up a child in Proverbs in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he won't depart from it. This voice, beyond just this utterance in the larynx, that comes through the mouth, through what we call speech and expressing of thought and ideas. But most importantly, for this parent, the voice of the parent, it is the one thing that serves as the authority, particularly the father, for direction and guidance for children. What are some of the things that this voice ensures? Just briefly, walk with me. A father's voice, and particularly if they're led by the Creator. You saw what the text said in Philippians. I can do all things through the Savior, through character we call Christ, who strengthens me. Even when I'm weak, if I hook up and I seek the kingdom, the order first, I can find strength. Are you with me? And when the Father speaks from this standpoint, from this context in the life of his children, male or female, something resonates. When he speaks, not necessarily through his mouth, but through his action, and he introduced them to structure by creating a physical environment for them to live under the roof with him, with their mother, with their siblings. That's one of the ways that this voice becomes active. Provides safety and security and demonstrates to the children how to remain safe and secure when they're in his presence and when they're not. They provide lessons and examples of boundaries. A lot of people get in trouble with other folks and society because they don't have boundaries, respect for boundaries of other people. Not that they're bad people, but nobody has taught them. That's one of the powerful influences of the voice of a parent. Teach their children physical, the maintenance and the importance of a physical environment, being safe and secure, and boundaries. Here's another aspect. That parent, that father, that mother influences the social character and interaction of their child. Don't no baby come in the world talking about they want to drink, they want to smoke, or do anything. They learn that from within the environment that they grew up in and the social interaction that they have. Kind of what Burns was talking about. And the adult in the child's life, who is the parent, who had been a child before, understands how to respond, to model what's important and what is necessary for that child to be successful. So through the lessons, through the instruction, through example, the child develops their own core belief system within their home. This is why the family is important, beloved. We talked about this the other night. This is why it's vitally important. If a child is going to learn, that learning begins at home, within the context of that family. And there ideally ought to be a voice of authority, two voices of authority, father and the mother. They shape the core belief of the child, their identity, and their value system. And as a character grows and develops and blossoms and expresses itself, it is representative and reflective of the values that are core to who they are, to what they believe. And you see that in their social group. Everybody in the classroom could be clowning and cutting up. But you can tell which child has been taught to be mannerable, to be respectful, and to disassociate themselves with that. Oftentimes, they don't last very long in those disorganized, disruptive environments, and they should not be forced to be there. They should not be forced to be there. Right? This is that influence. We talked about the voice of influence of the parent being critical to developing structure and under that, a physical environment, a place where there's safety and where there are restrictive boundaries that keep them safe from negative and dangerous influences. And we talked about the influence of developing their social character and interaction, teaching them a core belief. As children now, train up that child in the way that it should go. Teaching them to value education, teaching them to value respect, teaching them to value family, teaching them to value faith in the Almighty, right? This shapes their character and identification. And this is seen in their social interactions, expressions. Lastly, this is the thing that is perhaps the most important thing. If I could get young guys that are running around trying to find themselves in the dope game and gang banging and just lost on the streets, one, but one lesson I could teach them, it would be this one. And this is one of them that comes from the voice of authority from a father and a mother. And that is discipline. They must be disciplined to recognize, to understand, and respect both their strengths and weaknesses. And that's a balance there, you see, because in reality, the expectation is that you is not that you can take over everything, but you understand where you need to step back and when you need assistance. You can achieve things with the right assistance, the right support. You understand what I'm saying? This notion that you're going to whoop everybody, that everybody got to be afraid of you, that's a fool's errand. You understand what I'm saying? But this is a lesson that is taught by the voice of a parent. Understanding your strengths and weaknesses growing up as a child. Ecclesiastes tells them, remember the Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days, they're coming when you won't be able to do that. You won't have the strength. You won't have the vitality that you have right now. You understand what I'm saying? And understand that the time will come under the right circumstances where you can become weak. Teaching them to be disciplined enough to be responsible in their words and actions. Yeah, I've heard people say, that boy too young for all that. Well, he's not too young to take 3 to 5 pounds of pressure, put it on a trigger, and dislodge a bullet out of a weapon, or take a stick and whoop somebody, or take a knife and stab. Ain't too young for that. To get behind a wheel and drive and tear up stuff. Ain't too young for that. But they must be disciplined to be responsible in their words and their actions. They must learn the concept of honesty. Now, I know that's hard because a lot of grown folks are quick to tell a little white lie if it'll get them out of trouble, they think. Help me, Holy Ghost. They're quick to tell a lie. When you leave that example for your children, that's what you teach them to do, to be dishonest. Why is honesty important, Dr. Rich? Because when you are righteous, seek ye first the kingdom and all of his righteousness and whatever you want. Lastly, self-control. Self-control. I began by saying when you lack self-control, you make yourself vulnerable to so many different things. And that's a thing that got a lot of good people caught up and messed up. The lack of self-control. Everything that you speak with your eyes, smell with your nose, you taste with your mouth, you hear, and it ain't good for you. And you've got to have the discipline and self-control to tell yourself, no thank you. And do you not know that this is why so many crack and fall under peer pressure? Because they don't know how to control themselves. They think that in order to get the validation and support from their friends and their peers, that they got to do whatever the peers do. I mean, come on, that don't make no sense. Why would I jump, because 100 of my, 99 of my peers jumped off a building, I'm going to jump off with them just so I can be with them? No. Y'all go ahead. I holler. Let me know how it is when I walk down those stairs and I see you splattered all on the ground. See what I'm saying? Self-control. That is a powerful lesson that a parent teaches their children. Can this be taught by someone else? Absolutely. But guess who God ordained, set aside, commissioned, commanded to teach these things? Father and the mother. Now, you notice I keep starting with Father because that's what the Bible says. That's the word of God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that what? Thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You want to live a long time? You want to be prosperous? You want to be happy? Listen. I can do all things through Christ. That's true. This fellow here sang it best for a long time. Brother James Moore, listen to him just for a second. You listen to Talk Straight. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. This is your host, Reverend Dr. And we're talking from the topic, I can do all things. Yes, I can. You can. Young folk can. We can. Sit. I felt that thing right there. I felt something right there. Troy, you better leave me alone, so I feel my help coming right now. How you doing? Yes, ma'am. Mighty fine to hear you. Listen, very simply, for the next about an hour and a half or so, that's all we're going to be talking about. I can do all things. Is it hard to believe that? I got my brother out of town with us, too. Is it hard to believe that you can do anything, 12?
Yeah, for me it is. Sometimes when you doubt yourself with certain things, or you even question yourself about certain things.
Yeah, I understand.
Only until you do them, you realize, I did it. have to ask for help through the grace of God, and by the grace of God, a lot of things that I had to do and have to do still.
Okay.
When I said that, I mean, sometimes it depends on the individual. You know, sometimes you have that source. And I'm speaking about the Lord right now. I'm just speaking. You have certain people in your life and path. And I did. Well, I had that. I'm not going to lie. But
yeah.
And I had my self-confidence, but I also had my weaknesses because I'm only human.
We all do.
And a lot of these kids, they lack that self-confidence. As I was trying to speak the other night, because I felt like, okay, that was me before. Maybe somebody gave up on me. You know, I don't want anybody to give up on me.
Right.
And it's a lot of kids that, like, they've been left behind, because some of them actually have. And they've been given up.
That's true. They've been let down and disappointed.
I struggle with that sometimes, because I find a small fraction of that me.
Yeah.
I find some of that Urban America, me.
Well, you and me. You and me. How about that? Can I say
okay,
you and
us.
Me?
Us,
we
sir.
Cut from that fabric. We cut from
yes,
that quilt.
But
the quilt
I
that
also
I colored in.
A part of me that's strength.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Let me, Pastor Wallace here, and I know you want to tell, because he, see, I know y'all sweet on Pastor Wallace. Wow, y'all make me mad with that, man.
I'm sweet on you.
No. Pastor, here go your girl. Here Mama D is, Pastor Wallace.
Hey, Pastor Wallace.
Hey.
How you
now,
doing?
What's going on? All right, how you doing there?
I'm
it's good
doing
to hear
all
your voice.
Right. Hey, by the grace of God, I'm taking it one step at a time, putting one foot in front of the other and hope for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing it. You're doing it like that. You're doing it. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Don't do it no other way. Don't do it
that's
no other way.
Way.
Keep it just like that.
Yep.
Huh?
That's the only way I know how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll work. That'll work every time, though.
Right now.
That's
yeah.
I also have We also have Brother Don out of Selma, Alabama. Why don't you welcome him as well?
Hi, Don.
Okay.
Hey, Mr. Dockery. Right now,
yes.
While I'm in the Washington, the sheriff and one of the deputies in, because while ago I called the evening police officer, I'm accusing them of messing with my son. My son been messed with. And
well,
I'm going to say something to you and Pastor Wilder and the sister there. Have y'all ever noticed that all these police departments got these Greek fraternities in it? And then some of the men that's on the police department, they got feminine ways. So while ago I was bringing up the subject about my son, Mr. Dockery, the guy was fumbling and dumbling. I don't need you fumbling and dumbling no more.
Don, didn't you say you believe in God?
But I believe in God, but you don't go touching my child.
You,
and the mama don't go off hanging with guys in Greek fraternities.
Now,
I have to my child.
That is a very serious accusation that you are
That's
making.
Right. And I'm about ready to serious accusation off the planet.
Be careful.
Now, I ain't got no problem with it. Don't mess with my child.
Talk to your child.
All right. Well, Don, I hear what
you're
saying.
Like she got that feminine side. I'm going to say something to the sister. You know I got part of my mama in
Oh, my brother.
So like I got my dad in me, I got part of my mama now.
All right.
Yes.
All
right.
Well, Don, let's keep focused on how we can encourage others that they can do all things. I believe you can even deal with that, Don. I believe you can overcome that situation. And I'm certainly praying for you and for your guidance.
It's hard for me, Mr. Dockery, because I fuss with my dad and I fuss with my dad over and over again about Jesse Jackson. Jesse was gay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And he knew he was gay, but you put him out before our people. Why did you do that? I was fussing with my dad about that, and guess what that happened? You got a generation now, all of you want to be sisters now.
All right.
Not everybody.
I'm looking at
you. Not everybody.
Not everybody.
No, Mr. Doctor, you better go down to Uncle Sean. And if Uncle Sean were living,
Don, you don't want to.
Me and JJ don't discuss it. Go ahead.
Don. You don't want to be gay, do you?
No, Mr. Dockery, but guess what? It done broke loose in our community. And Jesse pushed that mess, and Obama signed it in as the executive order. So now we got a community of guys that don't really want to be men.
They
want to be women.
Hold on, Mama. Don, listen to what I'm saying to you. Don, I don't want to just cut you off and go back to the top, but I want to try to explain something before we go back to it. We have 350 million people in the United States of America. That's what the latest.
And they know who Obama is.
Listen, big brother. Listen for me, if you will. And we don't know. I don't know all of those 350 million people. Maybe you do, but I don't. But what I cannot say is what they are, what they're not. Most importantly, what's most important to me is what I do and who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what anybody else does. Now, there are individuals who identify with those things that you're making reference to, and guess what? That's between them and God. They'll have to deal with that, and their families and so forth. And when you interact with them, I would hope you can have healthy social interactions, even though you don't believe in it. You understand what I'm saying? this is America, man, and you can't go around just slamming people because you don't like the way they look or you think they are a certain way without having conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and what we're talking about tonight, Don, largely, is why so many of our young people fall on their face and never find success. Because one of the lessons that they did not have from a proactive voice of authority is how to discipline themselves and interact with other people in a way that they don't have conflict. That's really what our topic is tonight. That's what
Mr. Doppler, yes, I stayed in the house with my father, and I'm going to say something. We fast together.
Okay, good. That's good.
Can I tell you something else? We growed organic food together.
That's good. That's good.
That's I was good. Raised with now, a grandfather. He taught me to break ground.
That's
what
good,
I mean. I was with Uncle, taught me with a tractor. So, Mr. Doctor,
yes,
what I'm saying to you, you know, all young men didn't have that in their household.
We
got to be real. And guess what? I love my brother. Don't get me wrong. And I don't judge my brother. And if I see my brother's hurting a certain way, guess what? I have a lot of compassion for him. Don't think I don't. And when my brother's been violated in a certain way and I see them screaming and yelling and people overlook them, I really stop and really get to look at them.
I get that.
And I'm going to say again, these dudes in these Greek fraternities, they get their little cars and house and play the Caligula game and talk real proper and ride around in their new cars and new suits. Don't forget you got a brother out on the corner that's been done real bad and he needs some help.
All right, brother. Now, we can't stop them. They have a right, like the rest of the 350-some million people in America, Don, to join whatever organizations, fraternities, or groups they want to, just like you got a right to be a part of the Moorish Science Temple. They got a right
That's
to do
right.
that thing. And you don't have to be with them, and they don't have to be with you. Respect
That's
them.
Right.
That's how we're going to do that.
And you got to respect people's spaces and don't violate their children.
Now,
you
got to
respect people's faces and don't violate their children.
Yeah, you got
That's absolutely correct. Okay. All right, Don. I'm not trying to dismiss what you're saying, bro, or its importance to you, but I do want to stay focused on that topic tonight.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Waller, I know this is something you deal with and you face on a regular basis. In terms of young people that, as Mama B was saying, lack the confidence in themselves. And what I was speaking of is where confidence is developed, and that's from the voice of your father and your mother. That's where it's developed. That's where it comes from. And good or bad, I'm not knocking those parents who did not know how to teach their children. But what I'm saying is that's what is missing, and that if you want to go back and understand why they are wayward as they are, that's a good place to start. Anything you want to say about that, Pastor Wong?
Well, if you got something missing, you know, in the household,
mm-hmm.
when it comes down to the mother and the father, if the mother's there and the father's not, then oftentimes that portion of what some may have and you look at it as some may not have, and it kind of gives you a different look because everybody's not going to have the quality of having both parents there. And in times like these now, even with both parents there, there's still a peer pressure that's being presented in the world because the world is attractive and it has all type of things going on. And a lot of times, when someone individual gravitate towards a particular way of life, it becomes stylish, if you will, attractive, even though it may not be right in the eyes of others. I mean, I think what I used to do, I don't think a lot of people would see it to be right. Just so happened that's what I was into at the time. I was that person that was afflicted with a lot of interesting bad habits, you know, and that I even played a major role of inflicting it on others. But it goes back to, you know, if I be honest with myself, and take that inventory of myself,
mm-hmm.
I can see that I wouldn't want my kids to go through the same thing that I went through. But just what happens when the world has that way of presenting things, if you will, that again, it becomes interesting. It becomes very interesting, man. So I just want to encourage anyone to know that change is possible. 8112 said earlier about believing in God. And
right.
once a person do believe in God and start to put action to it, like myself, because I didn't really have that type of relationship with God coming up, you see. And it's for obvious reasons, man. A lot of times a person thinks that they don't qualify. And that could have been a major issue in my come up with the people during my time. You know, they may have thought that it would have been a bad thing to go to God the way we live, you see. But they don't have knowledge of the Bible says this, the Bible says that. And if we don't have the knowledge of it, it's just like we're foreign to what's in it, you know, and,
right.
and it's foreign to us. So it's like it's a situation of an issue that there's a lot of information there, but it won't do me no good if I don't know what's in it.
Yeah.
It won't do me any good. And that's what happens to a lot of us, man.
You're right, Pastor Wilder, because what I found out when I did at different points read the Bible, that I believe that's why they have the teachers and they have the pastors and the deacons
mm-hmm.
to help you
mm-hmm.
understand and break down these. They got some powerful big words in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And they're spoken, a lot of them in Hebrew, and you don't understand them because I didn't.
That's right.
So I went by the rulings and the teachings from my mother and the pastor that used to be here, the best, you know, being a child growing up in church, you know. So you learn, sometimes you can not have the knowledge of the book, but you can have the knowledge that was instilled within you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
a lot
yes,
of
okay.
things that it takes you a whole long way in life, because as you grow older, you get a little wiser, you know, each step of the way. So.
That's it. That's right.
You know, interesting, you said that, 12, that you got both the words, the text, but then you rely heavily on the examples of what the text means that you have in front of you,
mm-hmm.
that being your parents, you understand? And a lot of times, even grown people that are chronologically grown, because
mm-hmm.
they never examine the meaning of the text themselves, when their parents or guardians or primary examples are gone, they're lost
mm-hmm.
when it comes to that, because their faith was based on what they saw and understood from them. Does that make sense? In fact, one of the challenges in many congregations and churches now is that people are becoming more and more astute and are asking more questions of preachers. I won't say all of them, but many of them don't like that, don't take too kind to being challenged and questioned about ideas and thoughts that they're pushing and even examples that they're leading. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, the role of the pastor is not to control your life, but to show you
mm-hmm.
how to develop a relationship with the Creator. That's what Philippians is saying.
Yeah, to guide you through.
There
guide
you go.
Your pastor's supposed to be somebody you can love, trust, all that. And you don't put him
sure.
before God ever or her. Because
no.
we have women pastors as well, and no disrespect to them at all, period. But my point was that when you're sitting on the outside looking in, sometimes you want to go inside, and when you're outside looking at it ain't right, you go inside. And you feel it ain't right, something ain't right.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing.
And I think that's where your faith comes in at, if you have any.
Okay.
Some people don't even know to believe.
Yeah. Well, may I respond to this? You know, you're making some great points, and you make some great points because we hear faith a lot. We hear that word thrown around a whole lot. And
yeah.
Paul defines it in Hebrews 11:1.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into the old text, but one of the things that stuck out with me early on was he saying that it's the substance.
Mm-hmm.
Of the things that you're looking for. I'm paraphrasing a little bit now. And I asked myself, what do you mean by substance?
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that you done been through. You've
yeah.
been through so much that you know you made it over the hardest time yesterday. You got a little bit more drive to go on to tomorrow. Because
mm-hmm.
yesterday didn't kill you. It didn't take you out. So I got something to rely on that if
mm-hmm.
I do just what I did the day yesterday and the day before, that'll keep me to tomorrow. Are you with me? And that's my faith.
That's
my faith.
True.
And
the, I believe
and
that.
And the evidence. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I apologize. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. I was just. This is the best part of what I was going to say, Pastor Wallace. The evidence that Mama D is pretty is the mirror. We looked in the mirror. Good God Almighty. Yeah, she done made it through some. Look at her. You understand?
Yeah.
I tell
you,
you know, I'd rather
yeah.
be pretty on the inside than the outside any day
there
of the week.
I don't mind looking good outside,
but I'd rather be pretty.
I get it.
Yeah,
I'm saying that in jest.
Yeah.
I'm just making a point.
I mean, I didn't mean no disrespect.
No, sometimes
I can look in the mirror and I feel like, okay, you look better than some others.
Okay, one second, Don. I'm coming to you. Let her finish. I'm coming to you.
I'm sorry. You can look in your mirror, but your mirror is only but a reflection of you.
That's absolutely right. Well, I hollered at myself this morning when I looked in the mirror.
You're pretty good.
But you, hey, it's some days like, let me go to Don. What were you saying, big brother?
Mr. Dockery, there's a young man in town that had been to Chicago, and he come back to film. And I'm going to say something to you. Dr. King used to go to his mother's house behind George Washington College. Now, he's been to your town, Chicago. He's seen
my town.
Drexel. Your town. Oh, now, won't you slow down now? Because guess what? I'm going to come to Nashville. I got some guys. We're going to come see you. Listen,
go ahead.
I've been to
go
Chicago.
Ahead.
I left from Cleveland, went to Chicago. I want 12 to hear me. I got on the south side. Guess what I saw? Drexel Bank. I saw a savings and loan in Dorothy Tillman Ward. I went on up and I seen this Independence Bank. I saw this Seaway Bank. I got over around Reverend Daniels over there, around Kenwood area. I saw Highland Bank.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the west side and I saw Lawndale. And I saw these banks was maintaining these three flats and they was keeping them up. Carl is asking a question. Why isn't that going on in Selma since Dr. King came to Selma first? And he's seen it in Chicago. So Carl brought that up. And Mr. Doc, like I said, when I come home, I got some cousins. We're going to come see you. We don't want no slick talker from Chicago. We want to see some action.
Hey, Don, can I say this? I don't mind anybody coming to see you. I'm correct. And we can have some pumpkin pie and apple cider. If you like,
that's right.
I don't care. Come see me. You know, we can. How good it is for brethren to dwell in you. I ain't got no problems. Come on, see me.
And reason I wanted the brothers to come there, Mr. Dockery, you know, when I left, the 5th Congressional District wasn't in Cheatham County.
I want
some brothers that done got mature and old, and we come here and sit down and ask these questions. Who's doing all this building and excluding us? That's the question I want to put on the floor.
Let's relate that to the topic. You know, we've been talking about, Don, how there are missed opportunities. There are resources that are available to everybody to include, for the sake of conversation, young, black, African-American men, okay? Now, why is it that they're so distant from those opportunities and resources? I'm trying to tell you that because they lack the voice of authority, the guidance, the influences to prepare them first to know they exist, then to devise a plan to go to them and to use them for appropriately. You understand what I'm saying? So I take your point. I've always taken that point that if they gave half, done half these cats, and I say this with all due respect, if they took a bag and gave them $1 million today, what do you think they're going to be with it next week?
Maybe $1 million the next day.
You understand what I'm saying? And I don't mean no disrespect. So
I understand what you're saying. And Mr. Doctor, can I say something to him? Mr. Doctor, can I say something to you and the listening audience? I have done it. I have done it, and I'm not embarrassed that I've done it, because what nobody there to discipline or how can you say it, hold you into a point where you can be disciplined together. You know, we as a people don't know that we really need each other in a conservative community. We need a conservative community collectively working together. We need help.
Okay.
You can't. Sometimes you can have so much money and your flesh get to the calling, but if you had a brother there to help hold you back, talk to you, give you visions, you might not go that way.
Right.
See, we don't never talk on that level. And Mr. Doc, I'm gonna say this too. In our community, we don't have no think tanks in our community to even discuss topics that we're discussing now.
You know, that's something Pastor Wall and I have been talking about, Don, is having a place and a focused discussion for young cats to where they can talk to the things that are bothering, that are troubling. You understand what I'm saying? A clinic out. We've had those kind of discussions. Is that right, Don?
That's beautiful. Y'all can form something all over, not just in, Tennessee.
Right. I agree. But you know, we're just one person, 12. And I what
know.
I think.
But you got a big 12. Well, if you're listening, you might have just put a bug in somebody's.
This is what I'm telling Don. I don't mind sharing whatever information I have. You know what
sir.
I mean? Of course, that has to come in a certain way because I have a life as well. You understand what I mean? And I have other responsibilities. But it is not a one. This is something I've been trying to say. Don has heard me say this, and 12, this is something I've been trying to say for the longest. With all the ideas that I've even shared, I realize it's not something that one person can do by themselves, but it takes other people to want to, you know what I'm saying, 12? It takes other people to want to.
I think that's wonderful, though. I really, and with you guys striving to do what you've been doing anyway, I think it sounds like a beautiful idea.
Well,
and
if
others follow at times, it's okay. Sometimes we fall, but we get up if you're able.
Sure. Here's the good news, 12. We can do all things.
There you go. Tell myself that I'm scared to travel, and I tried it. I ain't gonna lie, and I didn't lie to y'all, and I don't have to lie to nobody. But at times, sometimes after I do it, I'll be worse off than I was at first. I know it ain't supposed to mean that I'm supposed to let it hinder me to the point that I'm still afraid, because fear is one of the worst things you want to do to yourself.
Sure.
It is real because people have people. Oh, black people been down for so many years, but guess what? There were certain things in life our forefathers had to accept and deal with. It wasn't because they weren't men or women. They were some of the greatest, strongest men and women in the world. They had to do this to survive. Some of these people doing things, these young folk doing crazy stuff too. Some of them.
Well, no, but you're right. You're right. And they lament they're surviving, 12. And they lament based on their understanding and comprehension level, they're surviving.
And they're
but
not.
You know that.
They're not stupid. They're doing what they're doing because a lot of them doing it to survive. Some out there doing it for the hell of it because they don't have to be out there.
Well, I don't think none of them have to be out there, but some kind of way, this is what Don's point is. This is what Don, he was talking about the young man, right? And the young man seeing a difference and wondering, why don't you have that? Well, it is important that elders, Don, those who know the way, position themselves to provide that guidance, most importantly, the example of how they do that. You see what I'm saying, Don? And that's what's missing. That's, I think that's the core of your point, that that's missing. And I hear what you're saying in terms of me or anybody else who want to be of influence to them. We should, to some level, have something off. Now, here's the thing. You've got to – that's why I was making a point about giving $1 million. It's important that they understand first that we can't put you behind what kind of truck did you drive, Don? You a truck driver.
Well, you tractor-trailer.
Yeah, them tractor-trailer. We can't put you behind the wheel of a tractor-trailer. Why, Don? And you don't know what you're doing?
If they ain't playing, they're going to crash.
You understand what I'm saying?
And if you train, sometimes you still crash. That's when you got to be very careful.
You know,
a tractor trailer is like a loaded gun.
Yeah.
Is it loaded
that's
gun,
it's a loaded gun, baby. I'm serious. When you get all that weight on there and you get to going down the road, you'll feel it. It's like you getting ready to pull the trigger.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so, Don, that's my point, that we don't want to set them up for failure. That's most important. And sometimes I've said this before too, it's almost better if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know how to properly guide them that you leave them alone, because you don't want to set them out there, push them out in the ocean and they can't swim.
Oh,
that's even worse, isn't it, 12? You know what I mean? You force someone someplace that they're not ready for and you don't know how to help them either. Leave them alone. Let somebody else who know what they're doing. That's kind of Pastor Wall, are you still there? You see that, Pastor Wall? That's one thing I often hear him say.
Yeah.
His taught is that, you know, he's somebody who understands essentially what's going on in the mindset of young folk who are trapped in that lifestyle and certain thoughts and ideas. And because he knows how to do that, he's qualified to speak to it. I don't want to speak for him, Pastor. What say you to that? What say you to that?
It takes wisdom and understanding to deal with people where they are.
Right.
And in my walking in my purpose and the plan of God for my life, I do understand what I've learned about certain things that take place out in the real world. And that's where it's an everyday fight. It's not a once-a-week fight. Unfortunately, it has been presented to people that that's fine and dandy. But it's a disrespect to the people who are out there lost, have no sense of direction, and we were talking the other day about the kids being up under the hand of the government for X amount of hours while they're participating in school.
Right.
And then to come home and to spend that portion of their life still in the system, that means they don't have no freedom.
Wow.
Freedom to be who they are. And that's the thing that we have to focus on, how to reach the kids where they are. Because if they're not reached, I'm just going to say what the truth is, and because it happened to me, that's why I say it's in my learning. If I don't get taught about a situation that I have just gotten free from, then they're going to be a repeat constantly of people being captured in what I just left behind. And that's a danger to a community that they depend on. Once a week, somebody might come inside of a building that they may not come in for years.
Wow.
So it's simple to follow the instructions. I mean, if you're on a job, usually, now I'm not big on that because I haven't had many of them, but I did get a chance to do a little work inside of a building. And they usually give you the instructions or the layout in what they ask of you. And when you carry out the layout, then that means you participating in what you have been ordered to do. But if you have no order, if you have no structure, you just go for what you know. And that's what the streets is about. You go for what you know. And then you have somebody who have the book, the Bible, I would say, that has a simple instruction in it, and they refuse to go and participate. In other words, the word says go out into the world. And it says that. I mean, it still say that in the book. If I open it up right now and it still there, if it didn't say that, then I'll understand it. But it said that, and it's still in there. Go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That sounds like to me is talking about those people who are out there without God in their life, and you waiting for the week to come and go to see if they're going to visit the church. That's not good. at least if you went out, at least they'll say, well, look, somebody do care. But right now, they can't see whether you care or not if nobody's out there. And I'm just speaking on something that I've learned, man. It saddens me that people are afraid of order. People are afraid of order. I want to say that one more time. Some people are afraid of order.
Amen.
And when I say this, I don't say this by way of attacking the people.
No.
I'm just saying this out of love. What is it so, I would say, so powerful that would keep you from walking in the order? And I would say it could be fear. It could be a person don't care. It's various things that it could be. Somehow or another, why hold a position and you're not going to perform it? And that's what's going on. When they get them jobs, they become managers, supervisors, and et cetera, and on. And they hold those positions very well, man. And I know they do because they still get the paycheck for it. They still going to work. They get vacations. They do things, you know, like that. So that tells me that they do know that there is order. And people abide according to the order. So what's wrong with doing what the word says? You know, you got churches and you got them shut down, and you know, that don't sound like that's order to me. You know what I mean? Because that's respect to hurting people, man.
I just
know that. I'm not, as I say, I'm not talking opinion. I'm talking what the word said. If it said go out 8:1-12, now I'm going to be the first to say I don't know a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one thing that I do know. I know the word G-O. It says go.
You know what that means?
Now that's
what?
It didn't say don't go.
Okay.
Huh?
It's only two letters, but you know how to do it and spell it.
Yeah, it said go. Go out into the world. I mean, it's like, wow, okay, it's go out in the world and preach the gospel.
You're right.
And it didn't say don't go.
I don't disrespect Jehovah Witness because, excuse me, they have a lot of knowledge. I don't believe in everything that they say. However, I take pieces of bits, and y'all probably heard me say this before, excuse me, of the information that I feel like is useful to me and beneficial to me, and so many children do the same thing. They'll take, and you think they're not listening, but if you pay attention, if they come back around, you'll hear them, you'll see them. And you may even hear them quote some of the things you said to them, to somebody else. And that's what helps me keep going sometimes, because I know that you was listening when you played like you wasn't, grown folks and all.
Yeah.
Now you
hear
the words I was saying. So that's
kind of special. Is clear. Yeah, go ahead.
That's kind of special. That means all was not in vain.
Yeah, you know, you're seeking. The word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
The king. That's right.
And his righteousness, and he said, all these things shall be added unto you. So if they do that, I mean, it would be a beautiful thing. You know, even though life would be challenging and tough,
mm-hmm.
but at least it would be something that a person can really appreciate. You know, it's just like, okay, somebody care. That's,
yeah.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Even though they may treat you like they don't, because you see them making a difference in one way or the other, then mm-hmm. that means work was not in vain. Am I correct?
That's definitely it.
Okay.
Working. Not in vain.
I be learning stuff all the time, listening to y'all. I'm telling you, I don't go to church right now, but I still be listening. I grew up in church, but I'm listening.
Yeah, that's what
I have questions. And when you guys give me certain information, Lord bless me to go to sleep, wake up. Sometimes I think about certain things. You probably shouldn't have said that. But then once I evaluate the situation that went on prior, then I think about it, okay, maybe I could have, but I'll be looking forward to Pastor Dockery. He'll come in, he'll take the exact same thing I said, because he knows how to take it and put it and place it. And that happens in life a lot with a lot of things and situations.
And put it
in a way that it makes me feel good about what I said, because he done took what I said and he done placed it there and put it out there that the way I said it, it was the exact same thing, but it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Do as we know to do and how we know to do it the best we know how to do it.
Right. Well, I'm just happy you here on Talk Straight. That's all I am. I'm just glad you're sitting right here on Talk Straight with us. You know what I'm saying? We're talking straight now.
Sometimes I had to take a break because a little overloaded, and you can't deal with nothing else with nobody else. You got to deal with you first.
We've been trying to keep the thing going, and that's a good segue. That's a good segue to the announcement again. We're going to cut off at 8:30 here tonight. But Pastor Waller, next week, you know, my wife and I will be recognized. Don, you were talking about Chicago. Can you believe, Don, it's been 33 years since I've started residency here in Nashville. So I kind of feel like I've blown.
Yeah, that's the point I'm making, Mr. Doctor. Stop and look again. Nashville ain't got but one, Citizen Bank.
I get you, big brother.
And then I'm going to say to you again, you don't know the terrains that I'm from.
Well, I've been out there.
You weren't born there in Middle Tennessee.
No, I wasn't.
And listen to this, Mr. Doctor. When we first integrated schools there in Dickson mm-hmm. County, there was some friction. Mm-hmm. We had to stand.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
In Chicago, guess what I learned in Chicago with y'all? Y'all talk proper and you move a certain way in certain areas, and then some are cold, hardcore in certain areas. In Tennessee, when we came up, we stayed together. But then when mm-hmm. we integrated, we had to really stand. We had to fight. We had to stand.
Wow, okay.
And so the reason Nashville has not progressed is because we did not stand like when we first integrated. If we'd have kept on standing like we did when we first integrated, we'd have grown to a point. But we stopped. We stopped playing with our enemy. We stopped playing with our enemy. We stopped enjoying our enemy. We stopped doing drugs with our enemy. We start doing fun things, and now we about gone.
So what you're saying, Don, is united together we stand.
Divided we fall.
And divided we fall. Is that what you're saying to me?
We'll fall.
But guess what? I understand there's power in strength. However, we come in this world different. We have a lot of like tendencies as far as I'm concerned. However, on the same token of that note, people pick and choose. choose. You have a right to choose a certain destination of your life and plan.
That's true.
So sometimes if you stand together, you're supposed to support people when they're down at their lowest. But sometimes they'll pull you down just like swimming. They can pull you down, and you can swim, and they can drown you.
My God.
Because they are fighting so hard to survive, they will pull you under the current of the water with them.
That's right.
Life is a powerful thing. I know this. Very powerful.
Yeah.
And you try to help only, you help to a certain point, and at a certain point, you got to give it up.
Okay, you're right.
Listen, I didn't say give in. I said you have to give certain points up of trying to hurt certain people because they will pull you under the current.
That's true.
Wow.
She telling you the truth. Mr. Doc, what's wrong with Middle Tennessee? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with Middle Tennessee. It's too much drug coming through Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And our brothers are getting caught up in the whams of the good old boy drug. And
we
I know that. Guess what I've been talking with the sheriff about, Mr. Doctor, here in Dallas County.
Don, we just got to tell our brothers to not get caught up with the drugs. Tell them what to get caught up with. That's what we got.
That's the game they're playing in the Nashville area.
Caught up with
be real now.
Real, Don. It's all over the world, baby.
No,
again,
Nashville is real dirty.
It's happening in Nashville. Pastor Wallace can tell you. He was one of the figures in that whole thing, and he wrote two books.
I've been out there too, Mr. Doctor. I know.
Nashville. It's all over the world.
It's all over.
Nashville.
I don't want to get lost on that point. Hold on one second. I don't want to get lost on that point. All I'm saying is the most important thing is you cannot get wet in the rain if you don't go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Let me say that. You can't get wet in the rain if you don't go outside where it's raining. Stay inside. Or if you just got to go out there, get you an umbrella or a raincoat. You understand what I'm saying? But you don't have to be wet in the rain. That's all I'm trying to say. We've learned how to avoid getting wet in the rain. Now, some people just like being in the rain, getting wet. Singing in the rain. But anyway. Let me say this before I time get away from it. Pastor Wallace, you met Mr. Shelton, Ben Shelton, at the basketball camp. He and his wife are going to lead the discussion on Tuesday and Thursday next week. I think you'll come and kind of hold them up a little bit there. But they'll be keeping the show going because, Don, 26 of the years, of the 33 years I've been in Nashville, I've been married to a sweet gal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to spend a little time with him. So I won't be on here talking to Pastor Waller or 12 or Don. I'm going to be in her face, Don. You understand what I'm saying?
That's all right. God bless y'all that doing so, too. First lady, God bless y'all.
Yeah, well, so it's our 25th year wedding anniversary on the 28th of this month. So, Don, we're going to.
I hope
going, I guess,
wish y'all well for it.
Thank you. So I guess you're going to try to figure out what was wrong with me when I fooled around you in the first place. Maybe that's what she's going to be trying to figure out while we're going, Don. But we appreciate you. But again, Pastor I'm sure Michelle will be calling you, Pastor Wallace, letting you know
I'll call you. Lord bless me to live and see it. I'm going to call in because y'all support me and I support y'all.
All right. Well, you know, Shelton was on before and he had he was one of our guests on, and he and his wife were going to together facilitate the discussion on next Tuesday and Thursday. So they got some good stuff. Young folk, Pastor. Well, you met him, Pastor.
Yeah.
Young folk. That's your hope. Don, I'm praying that, I don't know that it's my assignment to do it, but somehow your area, my area, and the rest of America all throughout urban America that we can make the difference that's needed, Don, for the young people that you were talking about that you see and the things you witness. Because you and I both, 12 witnesses, you know, Pastor Waller witnesses. We're out there and we see things we don't like, man. We see things we don't like. You know, what we can't do, Don, is go putting our hands on folks. That ain't going to come out. That ain't going to come out too well. It's a 50-50 chance they may put some things back on. Is that right, Don?
That's a possibility. And then, Mr. Darker, you know, just like when I've seen that with my son, you know, I had to really – and then, Mr. Darker, I'm a person like this, too. I got to pray real hard because guess what? She don't know if I might come back any day. And one day it just come on me, and then she looked up. Listen to this, Ms. Doctor. The other day, I'm going to tell you what happened to me. It just came down on me, and I came back in front of the raceway in front of the European guy, and I said, here I am. See, one day it'll come down on me.
Okay.
See, people don't understand me. They just – see, she might just see me one morning at her door, and I just get to shoot.
Oh, no, don't do that, man.
No, keep your hand off the baby.
You can't be
girls won't stand that. You got to understand. Don't listen here. Even though you have a child with a male, I'm going to say to you girls again, part of us are female.
So
every
Don,
male you see, he has his mommy in it. Don't ever forget that.
Don, hey, Don, you know why she responded like that? Because she's concerned about you, as I am.
But I'm just telling you, that's my child. You do my child
that.
Like that, I'm telling you how I am. One day you might see me standing in your door and I just start shooting.
Well, you,
I'm
you,
telling you how
Don,
I am. I'm just telling you just what makes up me.
And brother, I hear what you're saying. You have other options than violence.
That's true, Mr.
Doctor,
but don't forget, I'm human and that's my child. Don't never forget that. Listen, Mr. Doctor, look at her. You got Kayla, you got Ruben, and if somebody violates them, they don't want to see the worst side of you. They'll side of you, man. You talk so nice, but you mess with your children. Ooh, I don't know what you might see.
I get that, brother. I get that. We're all the parents. Everybody on the air tonight are parents. And I believe they agree with me that they share your, as a parent, they share your concern for your children. That being said.
I don't, and one thing I don't play, that. Homie don't play that.
What neither of us would like to see is you go down. That's what we wouldn't like to see.
Exactly.
That's
well, Mr. Doctor, sometimes it's good to go. Listen to this, Mr. Doctor. You know what I learned through life? You know, I ain't never had a bed of roses, but sometimes you have to sacrifice for the next generation.
Watch this.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you something, Mr. Doctor? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
The next generation don't know certain things that older guys have sacrificed for them.
Well, you want to live
be surprised.
And tell it to them, don't you?
Huh?
You want to live to see and tell it to them, don't you? Or do you not?
Sometimes, some listeners, 12, sometimes brothers don't live to see it.
Now,
but
listeners, 12. When Harold Washington was mayor, I know two men. Harold Washington went down, but they went down too, but they gave their life because they looked at something that was better. So sometimes you have to give your life to look for something better.
Well, Don, here's the thing. Go ahead, 12. Go ahead.
I don't think you thinking logically because if you want to go, that's where these kids get some of this stuff. You on the live radio station talking about, I'm going to shoot them. Don't you know that's all they doing?
If you touch my child, what's wrong with you? You don't be touching my baby. Here, baby. You gonna sexually abuse my baby, and you think I'm just going to sit there and let you do it?
No, sir. I didn't say
okay, then. You better understand it. I'll tell you what. Go to Japan and hurt one of their children and see what they do to you.
You ain't been in.
Go to any one of these nations and touch their babies.
Okay, I'm not here to fuss with you, sir.
But
I was just saying.
I'm just telling you, you got to look at reality. Like in Afghanistan, the Taliban said bye-bye.
Let's be careful the knowledge we put out for the children.
I'm just telling you, you can't be touching folks' children.
Well, we got 10 more minutes. Let's use that elsewise.
That's right. Touch folks' children, they'll kill you.
All right, Don, we hear where you're coming from. And, again, we're praying that that resolves itself in the most calm and peaceful way for you. That we'll leave that right there because we can't control it right now. And you know, we have talked off the air, and I'm sure we will again. And that's something that we're not going to resolve here on Talk Straight. So
that's right.
You don't know because you touched my child.
We understand. Okay. All right. Well, one of the things that I want to emphasize here tonight in this topic, in this conversation, is that it is important that people understand your success may require you to change some things about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And even if you tried and you were not successful at an aim, does not mean you're worthless or it can't happen. You can do all. Pastor Wall, I wanted to ask you a question. What is impossible with God?
You know what is impossible with God? According to the scripture, it is not possible with God. Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible, but there's a lot of things that's impossible for me is without him. You know, I didn't get a chance to discover some of the things that was changeable. I couldn't do it until I got with him, though. So it's nothing impossible with God as far as my learning.
What does that mean with God, though? Because the text that I read tonight from Philippians 4:13, it said, with God, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So there's the text again, nothing would be impossible. What does that mean to be with God or through Christ? What does it mean by that? Explain it to me like a 3 years ago.
It's talking about being ready. You have to be ready because he's giving information that says that for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what that scripture is talking about, you know. But you got to be ready because he can do all things for you, but if you're not ready, you won't be aware of it. So it's just about being ready because that's the powerful scripture to deal with. And if you're not ready, you don't want to touch that scripture right there because it says, for I can do all things through Christ.
Through.
Yeah, which strengthened me. So that means that I'm weak, but in order to get through it, I know I have to realize that, hey, I have to be ready because he's giving me information to say, for I can do all things. That means that it's not like I can't. I can. But what is it that I can do? Okay, I have to realize I can break a bad habit. But, you know, that's what I learned. And I had to be ready because I had the bad habits. I had a bunch of them, and that's why I appreciate knowing that.
I didn't interrupt you. I didn't want to lose my train of thought before you guys go off the air real quick.
Yes.
Is it not possible that God take people sometimes to do worldly things to connect with other people, and he uses them not in no bad way, in the good way to connect? As you said, sometimes you have to be on certain people's level for them to trust you in so many words. That's what it wound out for our life. Is that not
true? Yeah, that's very, very true. He takes people, you know, the word say he would take the foolish things of this world confine the wise.
Hmm.
There's a lot of people that they're wise because a lot of them attend church. They have positions in the church, and they consider themselves very wise.
Hmm.
But the word of God teaches me, you know, that he said, I'll take a foolish person, such as myself, using myself as an example, and change my lifestyle, and I became wise, and the wise became a fool because they didn't realize that they weren't as wise as they thought.
They didn't know it was
bad. Yeah, and that sometimes that takes place, and he would take a foolish person, you know what I mean, because I know that that's what I was. You know, anytime I was doing what I was doing, I had to be a fool, but I just didn't know it, you see.
No, you
and that's why
ignorant towards
I appreciate
what's going on. You wasn't no fool. You was just ignorant. And I think when you don't know and you do know, and sometimes you know, he'll use you harder than somebody that didn't know.
Yeah, when you know. Yeah, when you know. I mean, he'll take that, and that's what he's done. He's proved that all to right. me. You know, I was okay. that person. So, yes, he will take a person that didn't know anything. I'm going to put it like this, and I turn it back over, because he said these words. He said, I came to my own, but my own received it not. Hmm. He said, but many who has received me, to them he gave power to become sons of God. See, I wasn't hooked up with him, but he gave me the power to become. You know what I mean? Because the ones who supposed to knew him didn't do what he asked. You know, he asked them to do certain things, and they didn't do it. They rejected him. So he had to go get somebody, you know, that didn't know him, and that was me. And he gave me an instruction, and I carried it out. So that's basically what you're saying.
All right.
Okay. You know, I'm a,
it's called
faith. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
go ahead.
And I was just going to say, you listen to you guys, I'm happy to know that I'm a son of God. My.
To my grandfather and father, once again, that's Jesus and God, one in spirit. For you guys have brought me from, sometimes it get hard, and I know this, and I thank y'all for that. And God bless you guys, and you and the First Lady on y'all journey. And I just want to read a little taste about it. And thank you once again. And Pastor Waller, I will be here blessed to support you while you're filling in.
Well, all right.
And I thank
that's great.
You as well. Yes, sir. And Don, I thank you, too, for sharing me some laughter.
He cut out.
Oh, that's okay. That's all
right.
Yeah, well, praise you. God, 81.
All right, Pastor, you got the floor. You got the floor, Pastor.
Yeah, we thank God for everybody who had a chance to talk tonight, as well as those that were listening. We thank God for you, 8112, and surely we believe that things will work itself out, because Pastor Doctor need to take him a ride. And we just want to believe God for his grace and his wife, you know, for them to enjoy and celebrate. And in the meantime, we'll hold the fork down. You know, the Word of God does say, well, there's two or three, just in case it's you and me, 8112 is still going to be all right. Because he said, well, there's two or three guys together in his name, touching and agreeing that he would be in the midst of us. So we always want to keep him in the midst. That's what's going to make everything all right, is him being in the midst of us. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor.
Well, we appreciate everybody. And with that, we'll see y'all in another week or so. But Pastor and Mr. Shelton and his wife will be back next week. For another talk at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and with that we will see you for tonight. Songwriter says, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." Listen to the songwriter. Listen to what he says.